I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Oh, that's part of the wall now. That is a feature of the wall. Wow, that's a strong man.
They put my ass in jail. For 30 years.
For 30 years?
The people who run in tests.
He was a hero.
Taking my blood. Even your people weren't done with me.
Hydra.
I say it.
Get out of my house!
You better get out of his house.
God.
That man is rightfully angry. They did this man dirty!
Welcome back to New Rockstars. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier Episode 2 confirmed our theories that the Black Captain America, or just Captain America, alright? Isaiah Bradley is here to make us rightfully pissed off while planting the seeds for the MCU's Young Avengers. This is Inside Marvel. It's New Rockstars After Show for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm Eric Voss. I'm here with MT. How you doing, MT? What'd you think of this episode?
Oh, this episode was fantastic. It was, like, better than episode one, and it was just action-packed and just amazing, and I'm just looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're already revealing some stuff here with Isaiah Bradley, with getting more into the Power Broker and the Flag Smashers and what their whole relationship is. This is our after show, everybody. We're going to react to the big moments and answering your biggest WTFs, which to us stands for...
What the Falcon?
Yeah. Although people did start calling Bucky Buck this episode, so we could do What the Buck,
but
I don't want to get
demonetized. But only Steve calls him Buck. Only Steve
we can. Yeah, it's a Steve thing, which I like. It's kind of like a callback where it's like his friends call him Cap. Like, only friends can call him Cap.
Yeah. Right.
So in this episode, we saw that John Walker has quite the resume, and it looks like a bit of imposter syndrome, it seems. We don't know what's really going on in his cyborg brain. And we also meet his buddy Lamar Hoskins, who is confirmed to be Battlestar.
Yeah.
That is Clay Bennett's character. And they kind of crash a mission that Bucky and Sam are on, and it ends up in this failed attempt to capture the Flag Smashers on this high-speed heist of vaccine stolen from a mysterious power broker who has like a texting relationship with Carly Morgenthau, but
apparently
she doesn't tell the rest of her team about it. She's like, what's on your phone? Nothing. Oh, you text someone. Wow, how does he have your number, but you don't have his?
Right? Questions. Are you texting anyone that's going to kill us by any chance? No.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
So in this attempted team up between the teams, Bucky and Sam tell John Walker to essentially Falcon off. And then at the end of the episode, after meeting Isaiah Bradley and his son Eli Bradley, they decide to go talk to Zemo about past Hydra operations. Now Hydra could have been involved with this.
That should work out perfectly fine because Zemo's not sketchy at all.
Yeah, I'm sure if you have a presidential pardon and cops in Baltimore will arrest you, I'm sure they'll let you travel internationally now. So sure, let's go to Europe and see if we can break a super criminal out of prison.
Why not? Just a
Why
fun
not?
Thing to do. I mean,
it will be very fun for us. So in this episode, MT and I are going to talk about why Isaiah Bradley is so, so important and why his grandson, Eli Bradley, might be even more important to MCU. We're going to talk about who the power broker is and why John Walker just seems so darn perfect. Oh, real quick, I want to show you guys something.
Ooh.
So this is our latest Obsession shirt. I meant to put it on at the start of the episode. I'm not going to change shirts on camera because, why?
You got it.
Why
I
milk
mean...
the cow if you can suck the udder for free? I don't know that. I don't know how it works. Anyway, you can get this shirt at newrockstarsmerch.com. It's a really cool design. It's inspired by the end credits of these Falcon Winter Soldier episodes. But the cool thing about this is when you do get it, you'll unlock an additional option to write in a custom shout out that will appear at the bottom of these Inside Marvel after shows. Like, for example, we had a bunch of great comments. Lauren Mizuba said, "Hi, Eric and MT. It's only been one episode, but I love your reactions."
Aww,
thank you, Lauren.
So nice. That's you got me that
so
nice.
Jeez. You're nice. If all comments could be as nice as yours.
Right.
No. Wes Sager says, "Will Sam's sister end up joining the Flag Smashers? Are Skrulls present in the series, i.e. Rhodes?" I don't know if Sam's sister will join the Flag Smashers, but I do think Skrulls are everywhere because they've been in the past two Marvel titles, so why not this one? And I think Rhodey's a good candidate for someone who might be a Skrull.
Oh yeah, for sure. For 100%.
Good candidate. Sure. I'm not saying Rhodey is a Skrull. I'm just saying
I am. I'm just kidding. No, he's
okay, go for it. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I say it or not. People are going to just say I said the most stupid bullshit and then attribute it to me on Twitter. And I'll have to say I didn't actually say Hayward was Mephisto, but because some other person who has thumbnails like me did, now I have to own up to it. Whatever.
SMH, the internet. Am I right?
SMH, the internet. Yeah. and our friend Carol Brown said, hey, Eric and MT, did y'all just love how Bucky's therapist threatened him with a notebook? Yes. I love that. I love that's like the pen is truly mightier than the sword when it comes to Bucky's therapy. I love that.
I mean, like, you know, Bucky has a weakness with notebooks, apparently, because a notebook kind of activated him in the first place with Zemo. So he's like, oh, maybe not notebooks. Maybe
no,
you put that
my
down.
Greatest weakness.
My only weakness, words on paper.
Journals.
Not college rules.
I love it. All right, MT, let's dive into our first What the Falcon. What is it?
First What the Falcon of the day is who the Falcon is Isaiah Bradley. Now, that's a fantastic question. And Isaiah Bradley was introduced in 2003 as the Black Captain America figure, as everyone seems to already have a general idea, and this episode definitely gets into. And he was given the Super Soldier Serum via Project Rebirth, which was an attempt to recreate Captain America's Super Soldier Serum, which is, you know, pretty hard to do because Cap is a one and done. And the guy that made it got shot in the first Avenger, if you guys don't remember. And his existence was kept as a secret, though many notable Black figures came to visit him, as well as many Black superheroes like Goliath, Luke Cage, Falcon. There's just a lot of respect in the Black superhero community for Isaiah Bradley, and rightfully so. He served.
He is a trailblazer, a true pioneer. And in the MCU, it's a bit different. Falcon didn't know of his existence, and he feels really resentful that whole history was hidden from him, because that would have helped him feel more comfortable as an Avenger, knowing that there was some other Black super soldier that he could have looked to as a mentor. And I mean, Bucky's reason for not telling him is, well, one, he was Winter Soldier for decades and decades. He didn't start becoming Sam's friend until recently.
Yeah.
But two, like, he's like, this old guy's been through so much. I didn't, you know, he clearly prefers his isolation, and he doesn't want to be in the spotlight anymore, because last time he was in the spotlight, they ended up dragging him into jail. And that sucked. Carl Lumley's performance as Isaiah was chilling.
Amazing. He wasn't even in that for that long, but I was like, give this man an Emmy. Good God.
Yeah.
Like, he I felt so bad.
Yeah, he's like, he definitely played like 20 years older than he actually is. Like, the age that he played, the bitterness just like simmering under the surface until it explodes.
Yeah.
Like, when he chucks, what was that?
It looked like a cigarette thing or like a cigar.
Yeah,
a
cigarette tin or something.
Yeah,
like that,
and he threw that. I think there might be like, I don't know, like some pills in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That could be helping him or.
Yeah, those things, they're pretty flimsy. If you were to squeeze them, they would start to bend. So the fact that he could throw it so hard it would wedge into
the
wall. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that man is, he's still juiced up. He's still got some of that super soldier in him.
Oh, yeah.
But what's great about this series, it seems to be exploring that bitter reality of the character. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be making him a Korean War veteran, which is different from the comics. Yep. And he was imprisoned for 30 years, which is the biggest and saddest part about his whole thing, because like, he served his country. He even took half of a Bucky's arm off, apparently, in a fight with him, and they did him dirty. And apparently he says that even Hydra, the terrible organization that likes to have their fingers in many pies, even they experimented with him. And so that's going to be pretty interesting to learn more about as the series goes on.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, well, Hydra was pretty much everywhere as S.H.I.E.L.D., if you consider S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra as functionally the same organization. So it could have been S.H.I.E.L.D. agents who are like, actually, hail Hydra, and then they like, you know, take some of his blood serum out. Or if like after he was released from prison, because it's 30 years, so we don't know when he was retired and he was recently released from prison, or if like he's been out of prison for the past 10 years, and then he was like, so 30 years before that, like sometime in the 80s he was put away. We're not really sure, but he Hydra found him, and that's why they're now going to go talk to Zemo. Excuse me. But
you're doing the
was
thing
Zola
that I did.
Part of this? Did I just have a Freudian slip there? A Freudian Zola?
I mean, sometimes it's Zola. Zola could potentially be involved because Zola was around during the times of, you know, the Korean War and all that stuff in AI form. And well, I forget what year that Zola actually died, like the man Zola, but like Zola as an essence has been around since Zola.
I think it was implied that Zola died sometime in the 70s, because 1970 is when he was starting to work on his algorithm. He wasn't dead yet, because Howard Stark was looking for him.
Yeah.
But like, based off of his age during the 40s, I think he died sometime during the 70s. And then the technology of that supercomputer at Camp Lehigh, it was kind of like late 70s, early 80s computer. Yeah. Like, that was pretty analog, that technology.
They definitely didn't have iPads. They weren't running on new Mac computers.
Definitely not. But tell us about his grandson, which it almost seemed understated, but if you look in the credits, his name is Eli Bradley, aka Elijah Bradley. He's played by Elijah Richardson. Why is this guy so important?
So that's a great question, because Elijah Bradley is one of Marvel's young Avengers, and that's what they seem to be setting up with this series and this episode. And I was really excited to see him. And of course, Elijah Bradley is being played by Elijah Richardson, which is great. Yeah. Like, I hope that like the having the name Elijah was like the actual bar that they had for this role. That'd be hilarious.
But, great, you're perfect for this role, but your name is Brian,
right?
We're really hoping for an Elijah. Brian. Sorry,
this is taking this seriously. We're sticking it close to the comics. So
would you be willing to change to Elijah? It's like, well, my last name's Elijah. You couldn't be Elijah. Elijah. It's like, no. All right. Bye-bye.
Right.
Next.
But the three main takeaways in regards to Isaiah in this episode is that with Isaiah, the series is exploring the racist history of the Super Soldier program in America. And it seems to be pretty messed up. So looking forward to seeing how terrible these people have been to Isaiah. And which explains why the government preferred John Walker to Sam Wilson, because unfortunately, you know, they don't have Sam Wilson didn't have the right skin for them, which is some BS, but whatever.
And then you even see that we don't really know where John Walker's morality is at right now.
Yes.
I could see it going either way. That opening scene in the locker room painted him pretty sympathetically. But when he says things like, I need Cap's wingman at my side, and Sam's just like, it's always that last line.
Yeah,
it's like Cap would never describe Sam as his wingman.
Yeah.
Like, they're always on each other's left. They're partners, you know? So I don't. I think the fact that he looks down on him, the way that, like, Battlestar is his, like, sidekick, you know?
That's a really big thing. And, like, one thing that in regards to Battlestar, like, Bucky reacted really interestingly to the name Battlestar. So I wonder if Bucky has a history with the term Battlestar when he was serving in the military.
Oh, that's how you read it? I just read it as, like, Bucky's like, no, this name's bullshit. No more, I'm not hanging out with other stupid named superheroes. No.
I think the government, Battlestar. I mean, I think the government may actually be trying to make their own Cap and Bucky, but with, you know, Walker and Hoskins. But having Hoskins be like his wingman, his number two, it's kind of just like, all right, we're just going to keep the black man as the number two and make sure we elevate the white man. And like, you know,
right.
And Falcon was probably just like, not about that. I'm not anybody's wingman. Me and Steve were partners. But yes, the racist history of the Super Soldier program is definitely going to be something that's going to be talked about. But second takeaway is that Isaiah is part of the history of the Human Enhancement Act, in which Super Soldier Serum was given to others. And Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, a character that we've seen in previous MCU movies, is part on this of this program. So
yeah, and this is something that we found in the end credits. There's like one of the first texts that you see before it wipes away to someone who worked on the show is like, according to Thaddeus Ross, all information regarding the Human Enhancement Act is to be labeled confidential and directed to Major Donovan of Special Unit blank blank blank. So the fact that Ross is behind this, we know Ross is involved with the Super Soldier program trying to reboot it back in the days of the Incredible Hulk movie when he's working with Blonsky and he's bringing back out the cryo tanks that contained some of Erskine's early formulas. Reinstein was on the label, and that was an alias of Erskine, and then even Stark Industries for Howard Stark when he was working with them. So, Ross could be someone important. He could be the power broker himself, or he could be working with the power broker, but we'll talk about that more in a bit.
Yes. And takeaway number three, actually, I really like that you said all that. But takeaway number three is that Isaiah's grandson, Eli, as we were talking about before, as Super Patriot, is a really big part of this series.
And, or just Patriot. I think Super Patriot super,
not Super Patriot. I'm sorry. You're yeah, right. As yeah. Patriot, excuse me, is likely going to be part of a future Young Avengers lineup, which will include other older versions of Billy and Tommy from WandaVision, who we all love. And we miss them. And I hope you guys are okay. Oh, my God. So sad.
Yeah, I miss you guys.
And Kate Bishop from the new Hawkeye series coming up, which I'm personally very excited about. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm a big Haley Steinfeld stan. So that's going to be dope. And Cassie Lang from Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, who is being played by a different actress than she was in Endgame.
Right. Yeah. It's not Emma Furman. They have a new blonde actress. Blondes always have more fun.
And possibly even Kamala Khan from the new Miss Marvel show coming up. And America Chavez, which is one of my favorite, who is one of my favorite characters in Marvel. And possibly, I believe, Torres as Falcon in the future. But we'll see, because I don't believe Torres Falcon has been a Young Avenger. I think he was more closely aligned with the Champions.
Right. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
If I'm not mistaken, but yes.
And then there's some other possibilities out there that we might see a version of Iron Lad. People keep saying the kid from Iron Man 3, Harley Keener, Ty Simpkins is coming. I don't think so. Have a different actor play the role.
Yeah.
Like, but why not? He's already established. It's like, they've already recast Cassie Lang a few times, right?
Yeah.
This is the third Cassie Lang we're seeing. So why wouldn't they do that?
Right.
But so we have a Young Avengers lineup to look forward to. Now, the thing is, I don't think it's going to be exactly the Young Avengers from the comics. I just think really going to be like a younger group of Avengers.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a Legends of Tomorrow type thing where it's meant for younger audiences. And it's just kind of a team up and it's not going to have the same kind of weight. But it will be fun in other ways.
Oh yeah, for sure.
New generation take over.
It's that coming together thing that we got in Avengers 1 that is just so great. And we're seeing these characters being introduced in their own series and all that stuff. And then when they come together in their Young Avengers project, it's gonna be like, oh cool, like, oh, it's Cassie and them and like they're interacting and like it's gonna be dope. I'm looking forward to it.
So we want to talk more about the Power Broker, all your other questions that you had from this episode. First, we want to thank some people who helped us make this episode, starting with our friends at Helix. So Sam, Bucky, and Steve are all bad role models for sleeping. They all sleep on the ground, and Sam and Steve have complained in the past about regular mattresses being too soft, like marshmallows, that they'd sink to the floor. Too soft? Come on. That's not a problem any of us have. And our friends at Helix Sleep are here to ensure that that's never a problem again. Helix Sleep has a sleep quiz. It takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattress is great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, or even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size sleepers. I took the quiz and Helix sent me a mattress that has changed the way I sleep. It's perfectly designed for me and I sleep like a rock. Sometimes I need like an 11 word activation code to get me out of bed in the morning. Kelly's over there like freight train. She's like, what does this mean? I'm like, you're not done yet.
It's like, I need you to say it. All right, come on.
Say all of it.
I can't wake up.
And she's looking down at the ring. She's like, do I really? She's such a nerd.
Have I made a big mistake?
I know, I got so lucky with this one, the fact that she puts up with me. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. So it's not just me that loves Helix. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 and by GQ and Wired Magazine. So Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/insidemarvel. That's helixsleep.com/insidemarvel for up to $200 off and two free pillows. We also want to thank our friends on Stereo for sponsoring. New Rockstars is excited to partner with Stereo, the app, on weekly live shows. Just download the Stereo app for free right now at stereo.com/newrockstars. If you're listening to us live on Stereo right now, or if you're not listening to us live, you're missing out. Every week we're pumping out at least a handful of shows, previewing what's coming up in pop culture and on the channel, and reviewing the big hits from previous week. That content is completely free to access and super easy to listen to on your mobile device. The best part of Stereo is that you get to be part of the show. Submit audio messages with your questions, theories, and reactions. Actually, immediately after Inside Marvel here, we're going to record a special Q&A segment with your audio questions that we answer live. And you can go back and listen to all of our previous episodes of any of our shows on the Stereo app. So access these live shows, share your questions and theories, and interact with us in real time by downloading the free Stereo app at stereo.com/newrockstars. That's stereo.com/newrockstars. And then finally, we want to thank our friends at Blue Chew. So our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And if you hate swallowing pills, good news, Blue Chew is chewable, just like it says in the name. So, you know, your fiance doesn't have to put it in a piece of bread and sneak it into your food, as she does for me. I'm telling you, I'm going to be the best wife in the world. My fiance is the best. She has to put up with all kinds of problems, and she does it in stride. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code InsideMarvel at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code InsideMarvel, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this show. All right, MT, what is our next What the Falcon?
Who the Falcon is the power broker? Now, this is a really big question, as the Power Broker is not messing around this episode at all. Uh-huh. And he's got people to kill if they mess with him. And Carly seems to be in his sights. So we're just wondering, what exactly is Carly's relationship with the Power Broker? And why didn't she tell her team about that very threatening text?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, I think the Power Broker, I don't think it's going to be necessarily Carl Malice, just because Carl Malice was in Jessica Jones. I don't know if Feige's going to want to reuse that name or create any confusion. We might just have a Power Broker as a different name. And it's possible that the Power Broker is the same person as Thaddeus Ross, that he uses an alias, or he has some other kind of person connected with him. But I think Ross is going to be part of this, because we know he's part of the Human Enhancement Program. We know he oversees that operation. We have theories that he might be trying to set up his own Thunderbolts crew that we've talked about many times on this channel. And I think that's maybe, but I don't think he would send a text saying, I'm going to kill you. That's my one thing.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that he's like probably high powered in the government somewhere, he probably has someone else he's working with. And maybe Carly Morgenthau, she has a father, and her father is a power broker, and there's just been some bad blood or some love lost between them. And he's just like, I'm going to kill you. But that's how he has. It's weird that he has her number, but she doesn't have his number saved in the phone.
Yeah.
So he somehow found her number, maybe through the magic of the internet. You know, who's connected to the internet is Zola.
It is
she
Zola.
Robbed a Swiss bank, MT. That's why he's so mad.
Exactly. He's like, you don't rob from my country, all right? I'm coming after you. It's Zola. It's got to be Zola. Zola in the phone. Hacking
Zola,
all the phones.
Zola.
Zola. It always said, the power broker is watching. So,
that's
hey,
right.
Zola could be all up in the technology watching everyone. Because here's the question. How the hell did he know that it was them who robbed his shipment? Like,
that's right.
He's watching. He's every. I don't know how that man knew that and how he got Carly's number, but he's obviously connected.
how about this? Battlestar said that they hacked Red Wing, and that's why it was so glitchy last episode,
yes.
is because the government is spying on these people through Sam's tech,
yes.
and so once it gets into the U.S. government's hand, if it goes up to Thaddeus Ross and he just shares it with his computer buddy, Zola, then it gets back to him. And then so we see these the power broker's men kill, is it Lennox? It's one of her guys.
Mateus, I believe.
And they're like, it's the power broker's men. And then he calls someone on the phone. He's like, they got away. So he wasn't there himself. He wasn't like in the back seat of one of those SUVs.
No. I mean, why would he?
Or
he's
maybe
got too much power.
Anywhere. I mean, why would he? He's actually a code, a green computer AI that floats around in an old school computer that is somehow still working.
So, like, with the power broker, my question is, like, I don't know which version, like you alluded to, that we're getting. Because I know that in the comics, the power broker worked closely with Malice as part of Power Broker Incorporated. But the power broker has been two people in the comics. It has been Curtis Jackson at first, and a mysterious second, which is a weird, like, robot-looking white, pale... He was not a robot. He's a pale, mutate man. That we don't really know much about. So, like, I'm just really interested to see which version, if we're getting, that we're getting. We could even be getting a female. We could be getting, like, anyone. Like, so I'm just really excited because the power broke. I like a good mystery in a show.
Yeah.
And WandaVision got me addicted to a good Marvel mystery. So.
Yeah, me too. I gotta say. All right, our next What the Falcon is. What the Falcon is John Walker's secret? Where is this guy's head at? Is he someone who we were too quick to judge? Or did we call a spade a spade?
That's a good question. I mean, so we saw that he abruptly changed the subject when they said MIT studied his body, which is kind of mega sketch. A little sketch, but we'll see. And he gave Lamar a look when they mentioned super soldiers. So, like, he may be just being like, hey, bro, just, no. And three, he went over to Dr. Rayner's head to release Bucky and skip his therapy. So, what does he have going on? I don't know what his...
Yeah, I mean, my theory for now is that he and Lamar were part of the same super soldier enhancement program that the Flag Smashers were. I think they know full well who the Flag Smashers are. Now, they might be different generations of them. They might have been, like, an earlier class or a later class. But I think there's some kind of international program, maybe through the GRC, right? The Global Resources Council.
Yeah.
That seems to be some kind of UN government body that maybe that's what Ross is overseeing now.
Possibly.
But through these resources, they're trying to create, like, this new initiative of super soldiers. One of them were there during the blip. Like, it probably got paused during the blip. There's some debate over whether or not Ross got blipped.
Yeah.
According to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Wikia, it says he did. But then they're... you can't ever just trust a Wikia because you got to look at the sources at the bottom.
Yeah.
And their source is just the Avengers Endgame script. And I have read the full Avengers Endgame script and I re-looked at the script. The only time Ross is mentioned is he's at Tony Stark's funeral. So I think one person put in that entry based on the fact that William Hurt didn't appear to age that much. But once you get past 60, you can't tell if someone's 5 years older or not.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's just how movies work. So I think he could have blipped or he could have been around this whole time. I don't know. But either way, this would kind of explain if he wasn't around during the blip, maybe these Flag Smashers are like, we were about to be used as these super soldiers. We're so glad everything got blipped because now no one can try to weaponize us. So they kind of started to build their own Flag Smashers, One World, One People cult, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Flash mobbers. And then, and then now Ross is back and he's trying to get a handle on all of them. And he created some new ones with John Walker and Lamar Hoskins.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what John Walker's trying to do. He's trying to kill off the past American Winter Soldiers, you know.
But here's an idea that, like, I sort of thought about during the course of this episode. What if the power broker is, you know, supplying everyone with powers? Like, it's just like a business move. It's like, all right, U.S. government, you want a new Captain America? Have a little bit of this. Oh, Flag Smashers, you want some powers to do this? Have a little bit of that. It's like that thing that they introduced in The Last Jedi with DJ's character. It's like, you know, it's just business. This guy's just like, he's making his money, and like, he doesn't really care who he sells these powers to. So
I thought you were going to say The Boys. That kind of sounds like Compound V and The Boys.
Yes,
make it a commodity, and they sell it to the government to give to, like, cops and stuff. Like, if every cop could just be like a superhuman, yikes. Uh-oh. Oh, well, shit. Shit, I'm moving to Canada. Oh, God, now they took over Canada. Oh, God. Then I'm just Polka Dot Man. I'm just like, just kill me. I don't want to live. But yeah, I think like right now they're doing a really good job writing John Walker one way, and Wyatt Russell's doing such a good job
so
playing
good.
Him likable. You know,
so
there's little
good.
Moments.
Little moments
where it's flashes of shitness, but he's so sweet overall.
It's so hard, like, being conflicted about him. Because at first, everyone was just like, you know what? Yeah, I hate this man. But, like, now with Russell's performance as John Walker, I'm just like, all right. I know you're doing your best, John.
Yeah.
But could John. You not be Captain America? Could you just give it to Sam? Because that's what Steve wanted. But, like, oh, man. Like, I definitely do feel for this man. Because he does have massive shoes to fill. And
well, you know where Wyatt Russell gets it is his dad, Kurt Russell. Like, he does the same kind of tricks that Ego does in Guardians Volume 2, where it's like, I kind of like this guy. I kind of like him. Oh, wait, he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that balance in there that, I mean, Wyatt Russell's an actor in his own right. I'm just saying he got it all from his daddy. But, like, the charm, the little twinkle in the eye.
Yeah, it's that Russell charm that gets you.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I trust you now, but you're being sketchy.
Right. So there's just too much about what John Walker's doing. Too much shadiness. He pulls a gun out and he shoots one of them. And Cap shoots. Cap shot people in the war. Black Widow shoots people all the time. They use deadly force. Sam brought in Red Wing to just like spray them with bullets on that. I get it. It just feels really weird right now after seeing so many years of Steve Rogers Cap only use his shield as his offensive weapon to see a Cap pull out a gun. It feels off-putting.
Yeah, I mean, like, Cap usually only uses a gun if he has to. And, like, he mainly views himself as a defender of just freedom in general. And so, like, for Walker to have a gun at the ready at all times, which is something that Steve has never done, is just, like, a statement like, I am a weapon. I am a weapon. I'm not a defender. I am weapon man, and I'm here to serve
my
country.
Weapon man. Gun arms. Knife fingers. Grenade feet. It's so hard to walk.
It's like Edward Scissorhands, but Weapon Man.
Yeah, that's just a Mega Man. That's just like a really bad Mega Man villain.
Right.
Boss that you have to be. It's just
we're
going to
get
man.
Sued by Capcom.
Yeah. All right. So another What the Falcon. Will Bucky and Sam do to get Zemo out of prison? How's that conversation going to go? What are they going to talk about? How's this going to go?
I assume that Bucky's gonna be like, hey Zemo, you have any good stories you can read me? You wanna read me a good story? I'm just kidding though. No, Bucky's gonna be real pissed. As we see in the trailers, you know, Bucky does have this face off with Zemo, and it's really not great. He seems pretty pissed, as he should be. So
it seemed to be like Bucky's suggestion to go to Zemo.
Oh yeah.
Which weirded me out. It's like, so if you're willing to go talk to him right now, like just the writing of this seems to be a little like, I'd like a bit of an answer of where these characters' heads are at. Like,
yeah.
Like, the Bucky I knew would never want to see Zemo again. I don't understand why Bucky's so eager.
Well,
like, Bucky would just go Wolverine and say, "Fuck off, I don't want to join this mission." Like, to talk to Zemo again, this guy who, like, tortured me and used me, like, I don't think he would ever want to. It would be Sam who would be like, hey, ain't Zemo somewhere in a prison in Europe?
Well, if you remember, at the end of Bucky and Sam's little therapy session, he goes, oh, what was rule number two again? Oh, don't hurt anybody? Okay. So maybe in his mind, he was already going to go to Zemo because Zemo was on his list. So he's like, you know what? Let's do two birds, one stone. We probably got to learn more about Hydra anyway. So let's learn it out of Zemo. And then I'm going to hurt this man because he hurt me. So that's just
I guess I can see that. Now, I think the Zemo conversation, I don't think they're going to let him go talk to Zemo. I think they're going to have to arrange to break him out, right? Like, maybe that's the deal. He's like, I'll help you get to the next step if you get me out of here. Because you're going to need me to get into Madripoor to find this power broker or something like that. And they're going to be like, fine, we'll break you out. But because I think that same prison facility, we saw footage in the trailer of, like, security forces running through and prisoners being lined up outside their cells as they do a head count. So I think there's going to be some kind of prison break.
I mean, Falcon has the White Panther on his team, so that should be real easy, huh?
I love that White Wolf callback. That was great.
I know. I was like, as soon as he said White Panther, I'm like, they better say White Wolf. They better say it. They better say it.
Yeah.
And they did.
Say it.
Oh,
say
my God.
It.
But like, yeah. So like, I am interested to see how they get Zemo out of prison because it's going to be, it has to be really elaborate. I wonder if they're going to work with Zemo because I wonder if Zemo breaks himself out. because he'd be the type of person to do that. Yeah. So by the time they get there, he's like in the Suicide Squad trailer, oh, you guys came to bring me out? Oh my God, you're so nice.
We had a whole plan. All right, so let's close out with another segment of Oh Cap, My Cap. We're going to go through the potential Cap successors in this episode and just kind of rate them either that's my Cap or not my Cap. Let's start with Sam Wilson here. Not my Cap or that's my Cap?
He's always my Cap, bro. You know it, bro. You know it. How about you?
This episode, I'm going to say not my Cap. I think he is not interested in the Captain America legacy.
Okay.
I'm not really sure where Sam is at right now because he's doesn't want to work with the rest of the team, is kind of antagonizing Bucky. He's super pissed off at the whole legacy of Captain America. I don't know. This week, less Cap for me for Sam Wilson.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. Okay, that's fair.
What about Bucky Barnes?
Bucky Barnes, for this week? I think that Bucky Barnes is my Cap because he cares a lot about the legacy of Captain America, and he keeps bothering Sam. He's like, why'd you give it up? He gave it to you. He didn't give it to me. He gave it to you. Why'd you give it up? Like, he cared about the shield, and if he was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me, and that broke me. That was just like, oh, he wants to be better, and he wants to be better because Steve believed in him, and in part because Steve believed in him. So, like, yeah, I think Bucky's gonna get my Cap respect this episode.
Yeah, me too. Bucky definitely jumped up, and he seemed to understand the legacy of the shield. And to be super defensive over that. So Bucky is, yeah, that's my Cap. What about John Walker?
John Walker. See, this is tough because I obviously have my loyalties to Steve, but like this episode, Russell really brought it. And a part of me is just like, I really want to give this guy a shot because he genuinely wants to do the right thing. So I'm a little iffy. I'm going to say he's my Cap. For this week, I'm going to say Walker's my Cap because I liked Russell's performance.
Yes, me too. And this might be the only week we say that, MT. I firmly believe that next week and the week after, we're going to be like, why did we ever say that?
Yeah. It's like, why do we put that on video?
That opening locker room scene was enough to be like, okay, yeah, this guy seems to be just as uncomfortable with the whole song and dance routine of a Star-Spangled Man with the plan that Steve Rogers was uncomfortable. So, yeah. And let's just skip down to Isaiah Bradley.
Yes, Isaiah Bradley. I know I've said my Cap to everyone so far, but, like, he's got to be. He's got to be my Cap. He went through too much garbage to not get the respect. So, I got to give it up. Isaiah Bradley, that's my Cap.
Yeah, he is the Cap in the saddest and most frustrating part of that history of, like, someone who is just a government instrument.
Yeah.
And is just there for his flesh and his blood and the way he can be used to bring more death and pain and destruction to the world. And he's so bitter over that. And I'm so glad they're exploring that on this show because it is a really messed up thing.
Yeah.
And if you were to actually ask the real world implications of if we had a government super soldier, how would our government use them? It's not going to be a very happy story.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to hear more about that past and like all the messed up things that they did to him. And like if there's more and like if there's like how many people died trying to get Isaiah Bradley superpowers, because in the comics, they just grabbed a bunch of just African-American people and were like, all right, and try to enhance them. And Isaiah Bradley was one of the few people that survived. So it's just like seeing that history of forgotten Black people that have tried to, you know, serve their country will be interesting moving forward.
Yeah. And I'm just so glad they're addressing it on this show. Like they seem to be doing it the right way. And Carl Lumley, the performance he's bringing is just heartbreaking, and as you said, the guy already, that scene alone, that's Emmy nomination worthy.
100%.
God damn, it was so great. Okay, well, that is it for this episode of Inside Marvel, the after show for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. MT and I will be back next Friday for a reaction episode 3 and our after show, in which we're going to answer all the big questions you had about the episode. Reminder to download the Stereo app by going to stereo.com/newrockstars so you can listen to our weekly live shows, submit questions and theories, and hear us respond in real time. Download the app for free on Apple and Android and create an avatar and profile. MT and I are now going to turn to our listeners on Stereo for all of their wonderful questions in a bonus Q&A segment. I think it's going to go up on the channel on Sunday. So that'll be a treat. Follow MT at Mastertainment. Follow me at EA Boss. Follow New Rockstar. Subscribe to Inside Marvel wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for watching. And we'll close out with our favorite moment of the episode.
Little time in Wakanda and you come out
White Panther.
It's actually White Wolf.
Huh?